is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Father, we give you glory. We give you honor. Father, we give you the highest praise, Father. And we say thank you, Lord. Thank you for this precious opportunity, my Father, that you have afforded us to come boldly to your throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need, Father. But Lord, we come now to take you up on that invitation. And we count it an honor and a privilege, my Father. Therefore, as we come to you, Lord, to your throne of grace, we come through your gates with thanksgiving. And we say thank you, Father. Thank you for the precious gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you for your amazing grace that's in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, my Father. Thank you, Lord, that will lead and guide us into the reality of the truth, who you are and who we are and why we are and what it's all about. And for that, Father, we say thank you, Lord. Thank you, my Father. And Lord, we give you the high praise, Father. We say hallelujah. We praise you in all things, Lord. For we know, Lord, that in you, everything is all right, my Father. So therefore, we say hallelujah. We give you the highest praise, the highest praise, the highest praise, my Father. Hallelujah, as we come into your courts, Father. And Father, not only as we come into your courts, Father, with praise, Father, we come all the way, Father, up into the Lord, this radio broadcast. Hallelujah. And we count it an honor and a privilege, my Father, that we could sit at the king's feet and eat from the king's table. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Father, for the holy place. We thank you for all the ministers that set up in the earth, Father. That's the holy place, Father. All the churches, all the leaders, all the pastors, all the members, all the people, Father. That's the holy place, my Father. And we thank you for that, Father, where we can be built up and edified and strengthened, Lord, to go on, Lord. Hallelujah. Past the gates of thanksgiving, past the course of praise, past the our customs, our rituals, our ceremonies, our church services, all the way behind the veil into your very presence, my Father. And we count that an honor and a privilege, Father, that you would summon us, hallelujah, to eat from the king's table. Thank you for the food that comes from the serving table. And Father, you have privileged us to eat from the King's table. Hallelujah. To know what you said, my Father. So therefore, Father, we take you up on that invitation, my Father, and we thank you for pointing unto us the golden scepter of righteousness so that we can come, Lord, not just in your presence, but come all the way up to your throne, Father, and have an audience with you and obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our times of need, Father. And for all of that, Father, we give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever and ever and ever. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And so shall it be. Hallelujah. Hey, mighty men, mighty women of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Well, what a joy it is to come together and to fellowship with all of you who are in the sound of my voice. You know, hey, listen, if God has summoned you to this radio broadcast right here, to this ministry right here, then listen, he's pointing unto you a golden scepter of righteousness. You know what that means? That means, boy, regardless of what you feel, how you think, or what it might seem like, boy, in your life here in the natural, he who knew no sins, talking about Jesus, God took your sins and placed it upon him, and took Jesus' righteousness and placed it upon you, and made you righteous. Made you right. Put you in right standing with God. That's what God did for you. Therefore, boy, signifying that man, even in your sin, be like scarlet. You washed white as snow. For what purpose, Doctor? For that very purpose. What? So that you can come past the gates of thanksgiving. So that you can come past the courts of praise. So that you can come past the church services. All the way, boy, into the presence of the Most High God. All the way into the presence of your Father in heaven. Boy, that's his greatest desire. That's his greatest delight. Thank you for the corporate relationship that we all have with God. But boy, more than that, let me say that loudly with emphasis. But more than that, boy, he desires a personal relationship. You can see in a corporate relationship, that's just for a few hours. Whatever day we worship on and whatever days that we come together on. You know, that's the corporate relationship. But the personal relationship, that's 24/7. Hallelujah. That's far greater. That's you men becoming more and more and more aware of where you have been summoned to. Where we have been summoned to, man. All the way back into God's greatest desire for our lives. What was that, Arthur? To be in the presence of the Most High God, boy, with unbroken fellowship, communing with him, boy, all the days of our lives. Forever. Can you imagine a life like that where you're just communing with your Father in heaven, fellowshipping with him? Let me say it in a simple way. Always aware of his presence with you, wherever you go. How can you be always aware of that? By coming to the knowledge that, boy, he's not only around you and with us and around us, but he's on the inside of us. Hallelujah. He ain't never going to leave us. He ain't never going to forsake us. Glory to God. Why? Because he dwell on the inside of us. Hey, listen. In time past, he dwelt among us. But in these days, he dwell on the inside of us. I told you, you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You've been put back in right standing with the Most High God. You've been restored back to the boy God's original plan and intent and desire and purpose for our lives. Yeah, Lord. And you know what his original intent and desire and purpose was for our lives? Remember when he created Adam and Eve in the garden? And boy, what they were doing, they were walking and talking with God in the cool of the day, unbroken fellowship. No sin. With no death. Death didn't have no power. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil didn't have any influence in their lives. All they do here was just ate up all the other trees in the garden, man, and in the tree of life. Can you imagine what kind of life that is? Our eyes ain't seen and our ears ain't heard. It ain't entered into our hearts. that kind of life. Well, that's the life that God started up on this earth. That's the relationship that God started up on this earth. And when he started that up on this earth, hey, listen, thank God for, like I say, what's going on in the earth today and truth as we know it. But, boy, in the beginning, what he started on this earth, you look in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, you don't see church as we know it. It's church there, but not as we know it. And ain't no buildings on the corner. There ain't no apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists and choirs and church services and stained glass windows and religion and rituals and ceremonies and prayer meetings. It wasn't none of that. Yeah, God said it's all good, very good. It was church in the garden, but not as we know it. Church as we know it is a product of the fall. What you mean by that, Arthur? That's how God dwelt there with men after they lost that life, after they got out of the presence of the Lord, after they got put out of the Garden of Eden. So God was dealing with man not according to his perfect will, but according to his permissive will. Hallelujah. So in his permissive will, man, then that's what God, how God dealt with man in time past. Through our custom and our rituals and our, you know, it was religion that was established in Genesis chapter 4. That's when all that started. But then Genesis chapter 1 and 2, what kind of church they was having there, boy? They was representing God on the earth. They was God's representatives on the earth. For what purpose was Arthur? To impact this earth with the governing influence of the Most High God. For what purpose was doing that, Arthur? So that, boy, listen here, this territory could become a colony of the kingdom of heaven, a territory called heaven. For what purpose, Arthur? So they might be on this earth just like it is in heaven. Hallelujah. That's God's original intent and desire and plan and purpose for our lives. And let me tell you something right here, boy. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the purpose of the Lord is going to prevail. I don't care what you say. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the deal is. I don't care what the circumstance, situation, or something might look like up on this earth in the natural. Boy, what the king say, that's what's going to go. What do you mean what the king say? I'm telling you what God say, that's what's going to go. That's it. If he spoke it out of his mouth, it don't matter what it looked like. It don't matter what it is. When he speak, then that's what it is. It was nothing but darkness on the face of the earth. And the earth was all out of course and all chaos was upon the earth. And all out of order and everything else. And boy, nothing but darkness upon the earth. And God said, light be. Hey, Lord, guess what, boy? I don't care how dark it was, boy. When he said light be, light start being. And light been being ever since. And the darkness can't put it out. Glory to God. Well, the king say, let there be light. Hallelujah. But when, no matter what the deal is, boy, what the king say. And what the church don't really have a revelation of, man, is what the king said in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Because that's what goes. That's the end, in the beginning. God said in Isaiah chapter 46, he said, listen, fix this in your heart. I'm God. There ain't nothing like me. I don't care how many try to be like me and everything else, all the other gods and Allah and this and that and whatever. But it don't matter. There ain't no other God. There's going to be a whole bunch of men want to be God and trying to be God, but there ain't nothing like me. Why? Because, man, let me tell you something, boy. I declare the end from the beginning. And, boy, my counsel going to stand. What you mean, Arthur? In other words, you say, when I speak something, man, it's finished. It's done. Even if it takes 1,000 years in time, 1,000 years in time for God to sound, there ain't nothing, because he lives in eternity. So it don't matter, man, you know, how much time it takes to be manifest. If it takes 1,000,000,000 years, that's just like a moment with God. You don't live in time. He lives in eternity. Hallelujah. So, boy, let me tell you something, man. If a king summons you to eat and point unto us the golden scepter of righteousness and say to you, man, come and eat from the king's table, let me tell you something, how powerful that is, you know. And if you can come to the knowledge of that, boy, let me tell you, if you can get God to talk to you, Man, this is a done deal. That's why I say you got to come past the course of past the holy place. That's why I always tell you, man, thank God for what the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers. But baby, that's a going on. The purpose for the evangelists and the apostles and the pastors and the teachers is to help you, man, go behind the veil where you can hear from God yourself. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Just like we hear from God every day, yeah, boy, God desired to train you up, boy, that you can go to God and hear from him just like we hear from him. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Ain't no big eyes and little U's. It's for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the work of the ministry. Let me tell you something, you have a ministry. And if you don't know that, man, let me tell you something, you won't be operating in your purpose, man, for you going to church. What's your ministry? You say, I give you apostles, bandits, pastors, teachers for the perfecting of the church, for the work of their ministry. What's your ministry? That's the ministry of reconciliation. What's the ministry of reconciliation? Well, for you to come on into the kingdom of God, man, and then go into all the world, your circle of influence, and let them know, boy, that God was in Christ Jesus, hooking the world back up to himself. Not imputing man's trespasses against them, man, but reconciling them, making them one again. Cleansing them up from all unrighteousness and all their faults and mistakes so that they could come boldly, man, back into the presence of the Most High God and get back on course toward the destination and the purpose and the plan that God has for their lives. That's our message to the world. That God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world back unto himself, not imputing man's trespasses against him. Loving man. Go and share, boy, the love of God with people. That's why I tell you, it's the greatest story that's ever been told. Well, boy, it's the ministry of reconciliation. Hey, Lord. What's the ministry of reconciliation? That you can become one with God, boy, again. We was once one with God in Adam, but boy, we got separated from God in Adam too. But in Christ Jesus, we've been reconciled. We've been joined back up to God. You might not understand all that right now, but you got to first come to the knowledge of that and then grow in the understanding of that and the wisdom, the ability to apply that to your everyday life. There's a going on in God. There's always a going on in God until we reach the fullness of a stature of Christ. That's what that scripture said in Ephesians chapter 4, you know, about the fivefold ministry. They say, till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the fullness of a stature of Christ. Until who? Till we all. Listen, the race ain't to the fastest or to the swiftest or to the first one who crossed or to the apostle and prophet and pastor. So it's to everybody who, man, crossing line. They get the same prize. What? Name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What's so good about your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Listen, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, whoever name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. Well, I'm telling you about in everything. That's why I say we ought to rejoice in everything. Why? Because our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. So why we so, what you mean by that? So while we sojourning through this life here, and man, we might face affliction and trials and tribulation and ups and downs and heartaches and pains and suffering, and things may not be the way we seem like we want it to be or it ought to be. Man, think that no strange thing. That's normal. That's normal life. He who tried to live holy, man, upright before God, boy, shall suffer persecution and affliction. But Jesus said you can be a good cheer. Why? Because in that persecution and affliction, man, you ain't in there by yourself. I'm with you. And listen, let me say something else while I'm right here. When he say I'm with you, man, let me tell you something. The reason why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out that fiery furnace, hallelujah, because, boy, that man looked in there and said, I thought we threw three in there. He said, we did. He said, well, I see four. And four has a likeness unto the Son of God. What brought him out there, Lord? Boy, he was in the fiery furnace with him. Hallelujah. And the heat of the fiery furnace or none of that, boy, didn't even affect them. Not even a hair on their head was seen. Why? Because he was with them. Hallelujah. So, boy, what, boy? But to let us know, man, that it don't matter what your circumstance situation is, where you might find yourself at, whether you're up or down, down or up, or bitter, poor, or happy or sad. Boy, if he's with you, and you grow in the knowledge of that he's with you, and that becomes, boy, I'm talking priority in your life, what that, boy, that you can become bold into the presence of the Most High God. And watch this here. I'm talking about dwell there. Tabernacle. That's what tabernacle means, to cohabitate with. Jesus said, to see, the Bible said in the Old Covenant, he said, prepare me a place where I can tabernacle with y'all. He made the place to tabernacle. When the word tabernacle means to cohabitate with. He said, build me a place so I can live with you. And what God is saying to us today, build me a place in your life, in your heart, that I can dwell in. That you can come to the knowledge that, man, I'm with you. Wheresoever you go, I ain't never going to leave you. I ain't never going to forsake you. And the more conscious, man, we become of that, man, hey, listen, man, we could face every adversity, eyeball to eyeball, and we can let it know that greater is he that's in us and with us in any circumstance, situation, symptom that's against us. That's why the Bible says ain't no way to fornication gonna prosper. That don't just happen wholesale across the board. You got to know some things, right? You got to grow in some things. You got to grow in the knowledge of God's will. It's a good thing to be in the kingdom of God. That's just the beginning. But once you get in the kingdom of God, then you got to grow in the kingdom of God and learn the functioning principles of the kingdom of God and learn how to live kingdom life. It don't just happen to us like a ripe cherry falling out the tree. No, there's a going on in God. There's a growth in God. There's a progressiveness in God, a progressive nature, a going on to where all the, until, boy, we become who we already are. Although he declared the end from the beginning, what? He said, let's make man in our image and our likeness and let them have dominion over all the earth, everything that comes from the earth, fishes, sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth upon the earth. Yes, indeed. So God created man in his image. In his image created. He's there. Male and female created. He's there. And God empowered them, blessed them, put on the inside of them everything that they have need of to fulfill their God-given purpose and destiny. What? To be in his image and be in his likeness and dominate this area. For what purpose? Also, and be fruitful and multiply and make the whole earth, man, just like it is in heaven. Becoming that. What? Just like our Father in heaven. And it being in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. So that prayer that we've been praying all our lives, what prayer? Father, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in our lives here on earth, just as it is in heaven. See, your emphasis hadn't been on that part of the prayer. Your emphasis has been on give us this day our daily bread. For the whole purpose for the daily bread in that part of the prayer is so that you could accomplish the first petition. What's the first petition? Let your kingdom come in my life. Let your rule. Let your government influence. Let what you say. Let what you're doing. Many are the plans in my heart, Father, but what your purpose is, what your desire is for my life, what your will is, what you want for my life, your will be done. What that is there, boy, that's seeking first the kingdom of God. First, perhaps that's not been your priority in your prayer. Maybe you've forgotten that part of it, man, and just went straight to give me this day on daily bread. I need this, I need that, help me with this, help me with that. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. It means some don't pray. Then they say, and then we ask and don't have, man, because we ask amiss. They say, and then the ones who do pray, they don't know how to pray. They think that seminar that Jesus gave to his disciples were in what that is, Matthew chapter 11 or Luke chapter 11, one of those chapters in there. You know the verse. He said, when Jesus had went the great while he was praying, and he came back and the disciples told him, Lord, teach us how to pray the way you pray. Same way John taught his disciples how to pray, teach us how to pray the way you pray. John taught his disciples to pray the way he prayed. Now we ask you to teach us to pray the way you pray. Peter said, because I know this son of word. He says, you get up a great while before day and you go pray. You spend 3-4 hours in this thing you call prayer or fellowship with the Lord or in the presence of the Lord, you know. And boy, when you come out of that place right there, Lord, you go cast out devils, open blind eyes, heal the sick, raise the dead, heal the sick, and proclaim the good news of reconciliation to the people, and souls are coming into the kingdom of God. As you speak. And as we see all these great things happening, man, you're taking authority even over the winds and the waves. You're just speaking that happening. So I contribute that to, man, you know, this other thing that you're doing. Boy, prayer. What's prayer? Boy, that's going, man, in behind the veil into the presence of the Most High God and communing with him, spending time with him, one-on-one, you and him. Personal. That's why he's saying, man, to you, boy, listen, man, you got he pointing unto us the golden scepter of righteousness so that you can come boldly. I'm talking about, man, you might not know how to pray or nothing like that. They just come as you are. They become boldly. Why? Because I'm pointing unto you the golden scepter of righteousness. I'm telling you that you wash white as snow, said the Lord. I'm telling you, man, that, boy, I'm not imputing your trespasses against you. I'm telling you that I love you, boy, so much, man, and I'm going to care about you, the brokenheartedness and all that. You say, listen, boy, I come to heal a brokenhearted. What do you mean I come to heal a brokenhearted? I told you, man, just like he was with Shadrach, Meshach, and the Abednego, man, in the fiery furnace, they went through there, but they came out. So what you saying, Arthur? Let me tell you something, man, if you're brokenhearted, man, you don't have to stay in that place. Yes, indeed, boy, listen, man. All the broken people and everything, yeah, what you mean broken people? That doesn't mean you don't know, man. But this ain't no Humpty Dumpty sitting on the wall and all the great men and all of them failed and all the great men couldn't put it back together again. No, baby, you've been put back together again already. So you don't have to stay in that fire, son. Boy, God loved the broken people, man. But God loved the broken people, man, so much that, man, he don't want the broken people to be broken no more. Yes, God embraces, man, the broken people, man, but he embraces the broken people, man, not for them to stay broken, but to embrace them to say, hey, listen, you ain't got to be broken no more, man. I'm with you. I'm with you. I got a plan, and I got a purpose, and I got a destiny for your life. So out of circumstances and situations and something, man, that might come about, man, to cause you to be broken, man, listen, he say, who the Son set free is free indeed. All the chains, man, that seem to bind us and hold us down, man, in whatever area it might be in, whether you're broken, man, whether you're poor, broken, hungry, whether you're lost, well, it don't matter what it might be, every chain has been broken, and every trap has been sprung. Hello. Well, we got to take our feet out the trap, and we got to take the chains off us that has been loosed. Now, we leave our foot in the trap and leave our hands, man, bound up in the chains when the chain's been broken and the trap been sprung, then that's on us. And that's on us because of the one thing, what? A lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge of what? That the chains have been broken and the trap have been sprung. For what purpose? So that you don't have to stay in the fiery furnace. So that you don't have to stay in the crisis. That don't mean that you won't have to go through them and go in them. But that means that, man, you can know for one thing that if God be with you, then listen, boy, just like, man, he was with God, man, and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego say before they went in there that our God is able. Baby, let me tell you something. They came out of that. You know what they said after they came out of that? They didn't say, won't he do it? They weren't singing the song, won't he do it? They were singing the song, didn't he do it? In other words, boy, they took it to the next level. They didn't only say he's able. But they say, boy, he's more than able, baby. He not only, man, can he do it, but he did it. Glory to God. At first they say he can do it, because I know he can do anything, man. He all power. And they didn't doubt his power. But they didn't doubt his love either, boy. They say, hey, never could never, even though, baby, if he don't deliver us out of here, we ain't going to bow down before you, baby. We're going to serve him, and we're going to trust him and everything else. And as a result of them standing on the promises of God, the word of God, hallelujah. Well, what the king say? What that king had told, thou shalt bow down to no other image but me. Thou shalt worship no other God but me. And boy, let me tell you something, boy. They say, hey, you can do what you got to do, bro. I can't bow down to you. Why? Because, boy, the king say don't do that. And when the king say don't do that, don't bow down to no other God. Don't listen to no other. The circumstance, the situation, that simple man that opposes itself against what he said. If he said I'm in his image and I'm in his likeness, if he said I ain't got to be broken no more, if he said, man, I'm healed by a stripe, man, if he said that, then, man, I don't care what the circumstance, situation, sentence is. You can turn the thing up 7 times harder. You can turn it up 700 times harder. I'm going to stick with what he says. And I'm going to hold fast to what he says. I don't care, man, you know, if my old flesh don't want to do it. I don't care, boy, I got some issues. I got some faults. I got some mistakes and everything else. Yet still, I'm going to hold fast, boy, to what the king say. Why? Because I know if I hold fast to what the king say, hallelujah, then his word going to prevail and everything going to be all right. So what happened, man? Hey, listen, boy, when they say he's able, they were looking toward the fiery furnace. After they came out the fiery furnace, know what they were saying then? Boy, how great is our God. Hello. And watch this here. Because they had gone through, see, we pray for God's man to take us out and not to let us go through. When our prayer should be, Lord, hey, be with us. Because if you know that, man, when you're going through whatever you're going through, that God is with you, then, man, that's more than the whole world against you. You will know that you're going to be all right. I told you, boy, the more conscious you become, man, and the love of God and that he dwells on the inside of you, that he ain't never going to leave you in boldness, boy. I'm talking about you will take up a boldness up on the inside of you, man, that you never know I'm possible. You will know then that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because you will know something, boy, that if God be for you and with you, and he is for you and with you and in you, then, boy, that's more than the whole world against you. 1,000 can fall at your right hand and 10,000 can fall at your left hand. Well, boy, you won't be able to come nigh you. Why? Because you dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. In the presence of the Most High God. Can't no enemy touch you there, baby. I'm going to say it again. Can't no enemy touch you there. Can't no enemy, let me say it this. Can't no enemy overcome you there. They might try to touch you there, but they can't overcome you there. And boy, the more consciousness of that you get, then boy, the more bolder you get. And boy, you begin to look at circumstances and situations and symptoms that causes, man, brokenness and heartaches and pain and separation from God and disobedience and whatever it is in our life. You'll be able to look at it, boy, face to face and eyeball to eyeball. You'll be able to look that devil, man, in his face, eyeball to eyeball, just like Jesus did, and do the same thing Jesus did. Boy. Say what thus saith the Lord. It is written. Lord. But if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new. Listen, if we're not careful, the devil keeps us living in the past, and all the past things in our lives, and all the past circumstances and situations in our lives, you know. And he allowed those things, man, you know. And in that, then the devil, man, begin to dictate our lives, man, through those circumstances, situations, and symptoms. And listen, man, you know, those are facts, and those are everything else. But, man, let me tell you something, that's not the truth. That's the old man. Baby, man, when you calling out a territory, boy, you take over, boy, that territory, man, and you replace its history with your history. You replace its culture with your culture. You replace its life, man, style, and its language, and its thoughts, and everything else with the thoughts on the country. One time I give you a whole new history, a whole new beginning. Old things are passed away and all things will become new. If we're instead of allowing men the past to dictate to our lives and past circumstances and situations and symptoms, man, to dictate to our lives, and how they come up at all? They come up in your mind. That's the battleground right there, in your thoughts and everything else. That's why the Bible says don't be conformed to this world system and to that old man's way and what happened in the past and everything else. That's what's going on in God, man. As long as the devil can keep you looking back, hallelujah, boy, and he can stop you from looking forward. And the only way you can get to your destination, you got to be looking forward. You can't be looking backwards. You got to forget those things that are behind you and press on toward the things, the high calling that's in Christ Jesus, boy, boy, the fulfillment of your purpose and destiny. I tell you, everybody got a purpose. You might not be an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, but, boy, you got a reason for your existence here on that earth. And the overall reason for your existence here on that earth, you know, God got a, he got a specific one, but the overall reason is, boy, to help God, man, accomplish, boy, his will and his desire and his intent and his purpose for the creation of the earth and for the creation of mankind. And that's this, to extend his governing influence. Listen to this, to extend his governing influence of his territory, the kingdom of heaven, to extend that governing influence, not that religion, but to extend that governing influence, that pattern of operation, that system, that way of doing things. Hallelujah. To another territory called earth that he gave to you and I. What do you want to do, boy? To extend man heaven to earth. You're not trying to get man earth to heaven. He's not trying to get you to heaven. He's trying to get man heaven back to you. I told you in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, boy, it was heaven on earth. Before Adam made out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, boy, see that little garden of Eden? Man, the word Eden is a Hebrew word. And it comes from like, Hebrew is difficult, man, you know, kind of like a little bit because it's written in strokes. And this word Eden has five strokes. And each one of them strokes has kind of like a different word, a different meaning. For instance, you know, like in Eden is five strokes. One stroke means spot. One stroke means, you know, moment. One of those strokes means door. One of those strokes means the life of place. One of those strokes mean, man, the literal presence of the Lord. So what is Eden? Eden is not a geographical location. Eden is an atmosphere and an environment that's on a spot. Remember God, Bible say, and God planted a garden in Eden. The Garden of Eden, God planted what? An atmosphere and an environment, a spot. For the moment on the earth with an open door into a delightful place. What's this? The presence of the Lord. So what is Eden? Eden is an atmosphere and an environment that's created, man, by the literal presence of the Lord. Can you imagine what kind of atmosphere and environment it would be like in your home right there where you are? Your boy, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Father in heaven, come sit up, man, right there, man, next to you. I mean, literally. Can you imagine what kind? You can't even imagine that. You can't even believe. All your finite mind can't even comprehend that. The atmosphere and environment. We know this here. It must be a delightful place. An atmosphere and environment. What? That's in that spot. For that moment. In your home. In your presence. In the presence of the Lord. If you could just breath there, if you could just think about that a moment. My mama asked me this a long time ago, man. You know, it pertains to the same thing. She asked me this. She said, the Lord asked her, how would you feel if you knew that everything was all right. And she said, boy, she got a glimpse of that overwhelming feeling that came up on her. She said, like I said, boy, it must be a delightful place and a delightful feeling. And she said she got a glimpse of that feeling, you know, for a moment. You know, hallelujah. She said, man. And then she said, Lord, everything would be all right. I wouldn't be worrying about nothing. Then she said, he told her, well, feel that way then. Hallelujah. Why? Because everything is all right. And you don't have to worry about nothing. Why, your life in his hands. You his workmanship. Unless the Lord build a house, I'll labor anything. Like I tell you, this is not religion. This is not what we're doing for God. This is not, man, you know, worshiping a God, man, you know, through a set of beliefs, man, you know, that produces, man, you know, customs and rituals and ceremonies and a sectarian group of people. What do you mean? Man's attempt to appease deity. Man's attempt to reach God. Well, when it all said and done, it's not about that. It's about God's attempt to reach you. We can't reach him. We can't redeem ourselves. We can't cleanse ourselves from the sin of Adam. It took God to do that. And listen, since it took a God to do that, and only a God could do that, then that same God that it took to do that, and the only one that can do that, he did that. What you say, Arthur? I say he did that. He ain't going to do that. He already did that. Glory to God. And boy, he did that for a purpose. Hallelujah. Like I told you, man, for one purpose. What are you? So that everything, man, could be restored back to us. Everything that we lost. So that we could recover ourselves from the snares of the devil. Let me be off and go in the other direction for a minute. Listen, do you know a lot of things that we're asking God to do in prayer, God has already done? Case in point. We go to God when we get sick in our bodies and we ask God to heal us. You know what God's reply is to us? You might not hear it, but you know what his reply is to us? Every time. It's already done. Well, what's the problem here, God? We don't know how to appropriate what's already done into our lives. So I say my people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. That's why I say, boy, man, come on this radio broadcast, man. This is destroy ignorance. In order for us to reach our God-given purpose and destiny, that depends on the quality of the knowledge that we have. Listen, man, knowledge is steady increasing and growing. And each generation, man, ought to know more than the previous generation. Until, boy, we reach a generation, man, that has reached the fullness of the stature of Christ. Until then, man, we play our role in the scene. We understand, like I said, we come to the knowledge of what God originally intended and planned and prayed for us for our lives. So that we can be that colony of heaven on earth. So that we can be that governing influence of this territory on the earth. So that we can govern this earth with the will of God and the word of God. That we can walk out of all the bondages and all the fiery furnaces that the devil have used, man, to hinder us and to preoccupy us from reaching our God-given purpose and destiny, man. That we can, man, not just, man, sing songs about it, but that we can come out of the fiery furnaces in our lives, no matter what it might be. All of us have crises and circumstances, situations, and symptoms in our lives that we confront, that the devil used against us, boy, for one purpose, man, to stop us from reaching, man, our God-given purpose and destiny, to preoccupy us, man, with things, man, that we have the authority and power and control and influence over. How you had a power and control and influence over those circumstances? and with your words. I told you it wasn't nothing but darkness, man, and God said, let there be light. And then that was nothing but light. Then light started being. Then he said this, so let's make mankind just like us. So then the darkness in their life, and them circumstance situations in their lives, and them mountains that's in their lives, and them problems in the circumstance, and them brokenness, and heartaches, and pain, and suffering, and everything that opposes itself against the perfect will of God for our life, that they might be able to, it might be giants in their land, lives, and way bigger than them, but they might be able to do the same thing with us. Speak to us. Speak what? Speak life. Speak life. What's life, boy? In the beginning was the Word. The Word of God was with God. The Word of God was God. And in Him was life. Speak the Word of God to that circumstance, situation, and symptom. Speak the kingdom. Speak, and listen, not just speak the Word of God with it, but speak the Word of God, boy, from a kingdom perspective. What's a kingdom perspective, man? Listen, what the king say go. Not what the circumstance situation. Listen, if the circumstance situation is simply going in your life, that's because you're lining your words up with it. If you get a pain in your body and everything else, you start saying, I don't feel too good, and you start claiming things, my high blood pressure and my sugar diabetes and this and that and everything else, then listen. I told you, boy, this. You created His image and His likeness. What the king said, go, and you a king. Whether you know it or not, the principle still stands. What you say, go. So when you say, I'm so sick, guess what, boy? You're going to be so sick. When you say, I don't know how I'm going to make it, guess what? You ain't going to know how you're going to make it. When you say, Ben, I'm brokenhearted, and I'm this, and I'm dead, and, man, you know, when you start saying all the negative things and everything else, man, listen. Be not deceived, God, not mocked. Whatsoever man or king sow, that's what he say. What he say, that's what's gonna go. And you creating His image and His likeness, man. You a king, whether you realize it or not. Your kingship and your dominion and your authority has been restored back to you, whether you realize it or not. That's why you're having what you say. That's why I say when you come into the kingdom of God, baby, they change your language. Bible say, boy, when the Holy Spirit came upon, they spoke with new tongues. People think they're talking about, man, our prayer language. No, they're talking something else. They're talking about they spoke different. They didn't speak the same way they were spoke, would speak. They weren't talking the same way they was talking. They started talking a different way. They started talking kingdom talk. They started talking kingdom life. Instead of saying, I can't, they start saying, yes, I can. Instead of saying, I don't know how I'm going to make it, they start saying, baby, if anybody going to make it, I'm going to make it. Instead of saying, man, I'm so sick, man, they start saying, boy, by stripes, I was healed. Instead of saying, man, I'm lost, they start saying, I'm saved. Instead of saying, man, you know, I don't know how I'm going to make it, they start saying, man, my God shall supply all of my needs. Instead of saying, man, I'm bound up by this habit and that habit and this, man, boy, they start saying, man, my God shall deliver me, man, from every snare of the enemy. Even if it wasn't that way, boy, they start calling. I told you, it wasn't no light nowhere. And God said, call for what He wanted. And when He called for what He wanted, it wasn't nothing but darkness around. But He called for what He wanted. And what He wanted was light. So instead of us men always saying what is, man, let's start saying what we want. And let's start acting on that. And guess what? Don't get weird if you don't see instant results. Because in due season, amen, that means if we don't cave in and quit and give up on the principle, that's a law in the kingdom. That's a law called a law of sowing and reaping. But, boy, I told you, man, what the king say, go. You're a little king. What you say, go to. I can't find no job, man. Let me tell you something. That's why you ain't never find none. Ain't no job nowhere, man. That's why you ain't. I can't find I can't do this, I can't do that. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You gotta place your word, man, you know, the natural word, boy, with the word of Almighty God, and put God's word in your mouth. The Bible says this here. He said, hey, Joshua, you want to go and make your way prosperous and have good success and going across this Jordan River into your inheritance? In other words, you want to have good success, man, in this kingdom life, man, that I've called you to? Yeah. He said, okay, here's your instruction. What? Don't let my words depart out of your mouth. Don't let my words depart out of your mouth. Don't let my words depart out of your mouth. Speak my words to your circumstance, situation, shelter. Speak that. Say what I say about you. Yeah, but it ain't that way, Father. Listen, man, that's even the more reason to say it. Start calling it that way so it can become that way. Don't let my word depart out of your mouth, but meditate in it day and night. That means ponder it. That means, man, you know, let it become a part of you. That means, man, renew your mind to it. That means, man, seek it. That means, man, you know, make it a priority in your life. What, boy? For seeking the kingdom of God. What that is, seeing what the king say about you instead of what the world say about you and what people say about you and circumstances and situations and symptoms say about you, but seeing what the king say about you. I tell you, boy, if you seek that, you'll discover, boy, he just said some great things about you. And he ain't never said nothing evil about you. He said something about evil about man, our ways and our behavior and everything else, you know, and the results of it. But as far as you are concerned, he ain't spoken nothing but good about you. For what purpose, Lord? So that we can come out of those evil ways and evil behaviors and things that is not of God. For what purpose, Lord? So that we can continue to walk on out of darkness, ignorance, into the marvelous light, into the knowledge of who we really are, where we really come from, why we really here, what's our true potential, what we really can do, and where we really going to end up in. You know, that's mankind's age-old questions from the beginning of time. Who are we? Where we come from? Why are we here? What can we do? Where are we going to end up in? Everything that mankind is pursuing, man, is the answer to those questions. Well, and God, some of us, man, to eat from the king table, man, you know, this is how it is. So that, like I said, so that you know the purpose as we begin to close, that God will summon you to hear this here. You know? The Bible says the kingdom of heaven is like a soul who went out and sowed the seeds. And he just scattered the seeds, you know, in the field, you see, and then go home and go to bed. The Bible says, he knoweth not how, but the earth bring forth of itself. First the ear, then the corn, then the harvest. In other words, it's a process. What's the kingdom of heaven like? It's just like a man, somebody go out and just sow the seeds of the words of the kingdom. That's what the purpose of this radio broadcast is. They're sowing the seeds of the kingdom out into, you know, the radio audience. Some seed fall on the wayside. Some seed fall on stony ground. Some seed fall on thorny ground. Some seed fall on good ground. The earth brings forth of itself. If it fall on stony ground, it don't bring forth too good. You can't plant no seed on no concrete. If you just throw it out in the yard and the grass and everything else, you know, if you throw it out on the road, you know, if you throw it out in the weeds, what's that? That's by the wayside. That's on stony ground, and that's on thorny ground. But some seed fall on good ground. That's those who will incline their ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the church. And boy, producing their lives, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. What the sower do? He just sow the seed, and he go to bed. And the earth bring forth of itself. So God summons us together here, boy, and just allow him to sow the seeds of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God in our lives. And man, let me tell you something about this message right here and this word right here. It's like a little, another place in the Bible says this. It's like a little letter. What you talking about, Arthur? I'm talking about some keys to the kingdom and how the kingdom functions. It's like a little leaven that the woman took and hid in a bushel of meal, and it affected the whole bushel of meal. It impacted the whole bushel of meal. It's a little bit. It's the least ingredient, but when it's put into that bushel of meal, it affected the whole bushel of meal. You put just a little bit of yeast in the dough, And man, it fluffed it up. It affect the dough. The yeast don't become dough. The dough become yeast. It's the smallest seed that's sown, man. You know, but when it's sown in the ground, boy, I'm talking about it grow up to be a big tree and all the birds come flock down. It started off with just a little small beginning. Another place say it's like the smallest seed. It's like a little bit of mustard seed. But boy, let me tell you something, the effects of it. It don't return to God, boy. It accomplishes what he sent it to do. I told you, say, fix this in your heart. I'm God. There's nothing like me. And I'll declare the infinite beginning. And when I speak, it ain't going to return to me, boy. My counsel is going to stand. It's lost. So God, boy, wants us to know, boy, I'm talking about, man, it's the invitation, man. It's always an invitation. You know, sometimes I send out, man, you know, text messages and a few things to get people to tune into our radio broadcast. But, boy, it's an invitation that's going, man, to the whole human race. What the invitation is there? That all of the kingdom of heaven, all that heaven consists of, everything that you turn that people want to get to, that the people of faith, whatever faith you might be, whatever religion you might be, you know, that utopia that you're trying to get to, man, you know, whatever it might be, like the Christian trying to get to heaven, you know. Everybody trying to do something, man, in other words, to appease a deity for a utopia, for a better world. Well, the good news, man, that Jesus Christ come preaching, man, that utopia, that better world that you're looking for, boy, in the sweet by and by, I come to bring it back to you, to the right here and now. And then, man, I'm teaching on this earth, man, to show you how it functions, how to live in it, all about it. That's what I'm going to preach and teach. All about it. Its functioning principles, the laws that governs it, how to function in it. That's all those parables and everything else. That's all the message of Jesus. I hear you, Holy Spirit. I tears being off another way. Hey, listen. That's what the issue is. That's what the devil don't ever want me and you to know, or the church to know you, not even your pastor to know, man. What? He don't mind you knowing all the good news about Jesus. He don't mind you knowing all the Old Testament stories and everything that happened, and all the good messages, man, and sermon that we preach from all of that and everything else, boy. But, boy, let me tell you something, man, that's hidden in the graveyard of religion. What's that, Arthur? Boy, what Jesus said. What he preached. I guarantee you, boy, to your amazement, man, I don't care who you are. You can be, man, a great pastor and everything else, man, and you can be this and that, boy. If you do, boy, listen, if you go to God and say, first of all, say, Father, let your kingdom come and let your will be done in my life here on earth as it is in heaven. And then you open your Bible, man, and read the four Gospels. And you read it, man, in this light. What light is that, Arthur? To see what Jesus preached. Not to find out, man, about him, and who he is, but the man, to see what he said. To see what he said, that's what's hidden. If we're not careful, boy, because we don't know what he said, then we preach about him. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, y'all, my time is about up. We preach about him. Amen. And us preaching about him, that's a good thing. That ain't no bad thing. That's a great thing, man. But I told you that's going on, man. Hey, not only do we need to preach about him, but we need to find out, man, what he said, what he preached. Preaching about him and preaching what he preached is two different things. That's why God is, man, bringing us and summoning us, boy, to sit at the king's table and eat at the king's feet and eat from the king's table so that you might know, boy, what he preached and what he taught. This is what he preached. All of the kingdom of heaven, your inheritance, that belongs to you. I come to bring it back to you. And not only come to bring it back to you, but I come to bring the governing influence of it, the way it functions, the way it operates, the governor that Isaiah say that he had up on his shoulder, what, the religious order? No, the governing system of it, the governing system of it, not the religion, the governing system of it, the functioning principles of it, the laws of it, how it operates, everything about it, man. That's what I come to bring to you. That's what he preached. He preached that our inheritance was ours, and he preached that, man, you know how to operate in. Hey, listen, man, God love you. I love you, man. I pray God's blessing upon your life. My wife, Gail, and I, we love you with the love of the Lord, you know, and we decree and declare that it be unto you according to what the King says, you know. And again, you know, God bless you. We look forward again to ministering to you again next week. Tune in. If we could be a blessing to you, of any service to you, help you in prayer or whatever, you can contact us at area code 713-870-3776. If you need